What if you're not interested in just one thing, but in multiple things? Multipotential. A creative generalist. Yes, it's indeed a conversation in English. I'm talking to Nieves Canada. She lives in Ghent. She was born in Spain. And that's why we chose to use English instead of Dutch or Spanish. My Spanish is dos cervezas, por favor. And I don't drink any cervezas. So that's why English. It's a very passionate conversation about a very passionate, beautiful soul who is living life and everything what is inside of her trying to express it. And in her profession, she's a VP customer success. But besides that, she's studying positive psychology. She's bringing out a education book for children and parents. She is a piano teacher. So very interesting conversation with Nieves. Enjoy.
Welcome to What's on Your Mind with Peter Snowart. Every week, a guest talks about his or her story, and that story can inspire you to change your own. Here's Peter.
But first of all, Nieves, mm-hmm. I think you have a very beautiful name.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, this is a recording. Where going to start? I'm going to start a little bit soft before we dive into the thing that we want to discuss. Is if I looked on your LinkedIn and you've held several management positions and it's a combination of customer success and it's also sales. I have a feeling that you went from the sales, so the selling part, towards the towards customer success, and I associate customer success with because I also saw that you set up customer success teams. One of the most difficult things to do, because it's one thing to sell something based on expectation and setting expectations. And then the customer success is when the thing is not working properly, when those expectations are not met, etc., etc., etc. So basically, you're getting a lot of shit.
Yeah.
So and I'm wondering. I mean, why? Why are you so attracted to that?
Well, maybe also to take a step back. Indeed, I've worked always, or I started working around sales, but I also worked in marketing, in corporate strategy. Yeah. I was busy doing forecasts worldwide in a corporate world. And I think when I landed in customer success, I found my place that I was looking for, because I couldn't fit sales because I don't like the hard negotiation part. Mm-hmm. But I do like bringing solutions to customers, and I look into how can I help others. And I think when it comes to customer success, it was the commercial skills in a soft way. And I think that was what brought me there.
Because customer success is about the renewal. Because it's one thing to sell the first time, but customer success in more SaaS-oriented organizations is so important, because when the customer is happy and so is seeing the value or even receiving more value than the price they are paying for it thanks to customer success, then they're going to renew the contract over and over again.
Exactly. And as you mentioned, that comes with a lot of shit, because it's not about you sell something and you have a happy customer. It's about where the journey starts. So they need to see the value. So customer success in some organizations can be, we take care of the renewals, but it's much more than that, because the renewal, if you're done your job well, and that's on how can a customer find the value of their investment, then the renewal is just a transition a transactional step.
Yeah, you mean the upselling part?
That's another thing. When you have a happy customer, they know the value about the product, they will be open to explore additional capabilities of the product. So, and that's also the part of the commercial side that I was talking, because you need to be able to detect that, to connect the dots between, I know you guys started with this, but I know this and this and this customer in your same industry, and they are already using or going into this direction. And that's how you bring a solution, or you even anticipate a solution to them. And that's how upsell happens as well. And then, of course, when there is a hard negotiation, there is a sales team to close that, right? Mm.
Now, you've also set up teams. Mm-hmm. So you've attracted hired people. I mean, I feel that that you have a very, how do you say that, human side. I don't want to call it softness, because it softness sounds a little bit negative, but it's just very positive. I think you have a very, you that's something I feel, is that you see every individual as unique, and they come with talents, and they come with some kind of manual, and you know how to put people into their strengths.
Wow, Peter, I'm impressed. I have goosebumps.
But that's an assumption. That's something I feel.
Wow, that's how I describe my leadership style. So I'm in leadership because I genuinely believe in each individual, and I really enjoy letting them know you are unique. These are your strengths. How can we make them or put you at your best? Mm. So exactly, that's what I really enjoy about that.
Without acting, you are the boss.
Oh no!
But yeah, you see, yeah. So it's your style of leadership is really about serving them and getting most out of them, becoming the best version of themselves. That sounds very American, but in a good human way, not in a it's just a performance for the performance way, because it's human beings. It's really about that expression of what's inside of them.
Yeah. Exactly. And I think, and that's also very related to coaching. I'm also a coach, and I think that's a strength, because when we grow up, you have your talents and you have your things that you need to get better of. And there is a lot of pressure in getting better at those things. And I think we are taking it in a wrong way. Why should you take effort and energy in something that you're not going to get better? You can, in the best case, be an average performer, but you can excel in your talents. So that's what I'm looking into. When I'm building a team, I look into, this is what I need. Who can be each unique piece in my puzzle? And that brings a lot of fulfillment for them. And that brings a lot of productive and empowered team as well.
Yeah, because you don't have to micromanage your
exactly.
people.
Yeah,
I have the same philosophy. I have the feeling that still a lot of companies underestimate that kind of view, that they are more focused on more the maybe male energy, where they it's all about action and performance and more rational part of it, and that they are treating every individual as the same, as long as they're fitting into some kind of KPI system. This is what you need to do, this is how many calls, the ticket should be closed within 1 hour, etc. instead of like you said, who I know we should do this, but it really depends of how can we create a situation where the total is more than the sum of the underlying parts, which is the dynamics of a team. And I that's my personal opinion. It's something when there's a lot of stress on the numbers in a company, mm-hmm. Because they always want to grow very fast. That this is a little bit how do you say it? Not seen always as important, and there is also the other part. You can also go only in the direction where there is no performance part. Eh?
Exactly.
It needs to be really a balance of the two.
Exactly.
I believe
100% with you. I think in the middle is the right thing, because you cannot have only a team that it's exhausted chasing numbers, while you are not even aware of how are they dealing in their personal life, because that affects also productivity. So finding the balance between we have a shared target. That's our direction. How are we going to get there as individual and as a team? So don't take me wrong. I'm not soft at all when it comes to getting my targets. I'm also very goal driven. But it's how can we, knowing the destination, go in the best way that in the end, that's also part of your own growth, and that will have an impact on the company's growth as well.
You also, when hiring people, building teams, I also assume that you hire also, you hire different ages.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The things that I see is that especially younger people. Is that they are not aware of their talents yet. Mm-hmm. That they still, due to maybe living only in their heads or just not knowing or not being aware of that, or nobody asked them actually, or they were just fitting in some kind of system, mm-hmm. But they were not asking themselves what is life asking, or what is life trying to express from within me. Is how do you, when you spot somebody in started in your team, you see, okay, I can do something with that person. First of all, are young people approaching you with that question? I don't know my talents.
I think there is much more self-reflection now in younger people than when we were that age, to be honest. Because when you are 40, you start thinking, okay, now, what do I really want? But these new generations, they know already what they want. And sometimes that's an issue because they want to be there already while they still need to build the experience.
Instant gratification.
Exactly. So that's, I think, that the most difficult challenge there. But it could be that someone is still experimenting. And I think the role of a leader in that case is crucial because by mirroring good feedback, so it's not only about you need to get better here, but also you've done this good because this and that, do more of this, they will also realize, okay, it's not fluffy feedback, it's something I've done and I need to be proud of. And I think that's also finding the balance between not be constantly rewarding, because in the end it's your job and you need to do a good job, otherwise what are we doing here? But also letting them know, what I always say is, take this opportunity. You're working in this company. You're not going to be here for the rest of your life. But if you have a goal, how can we today work in this context towards that personal growth? And that's where you'll find their intrinsic motivation. That's where I love doing, because then I also understand more why they would take an action or the other one. Where are they looking for? And how can I today help them in getting into that, knowing that they're not going to stay with the company for 20 years, right?
Okay. Now, you just mentioned when you're over 40 or something like that, I mean, you will ask yourself more profound questions. What's inside of me? What am I good of? And once you start taking that journey, you and me, we discovered that there is a lot. And then you are coming to the topic of the multi potential, so mm-hmm. the creative generalist, so the fact that there is a lot. And for me personally, I struggled with that for years, because I thought that I only could be could be great at one thing, and I should pursue that one thing, especially professionally.
Yeah, totally.
And asking questions, deep conversations. I mean, 5 years ago, I would I never thought I would be doing that or even enjoying that or even would be good at it. Because there's always that thing that, how do you know what you're passionate about and where do you get energy from? Because, I mean, when I start doing this, it took a lot of work, mm-hmm. A lot of preparation. It's the same with playing guitar. I mean, it's in the beginning, it's a very steep learning curve, But now, I mean, we connect. You entered a little bit nervous. For me, it's like I've done this so many times, and I just thrive on the connection we already had in Ghent. So it's a very intuitive decision. Then I trust the universe and surrender. I'm like, yeah, the energy will bring me wherever it needs to bring me, in some kind of flow state. The only thing that I need to do is get my ego out of the equation. The head thing, and then some kind of magic will unfold. How did you discover that there is a lot in you, and it also brings sometimes stress in order. Yeah, that you are like, I want to taste a little bit of this. The first question to start it. How did you discover that there is a lot in you, and how do you do that or be that, or how do you, how did you discover what the different things that are inside of you? I'm going to start with that.
That's already a huge question, eh? So I would say there have been like two parts, an unconscious one and a conscious one.
Yeah.
So the unconscious one starts when you are a child and they ask you, what do you want to be when you are grow up? And for me, it was like, depending on the day, I wanted to be a fashion designer. I wanted to be a psychologist. I wanted to travel around. I wanted to be a teacher. So.
And at what age was that?
When you start asking little children, like
five, six. You knew at five that you want to become a psychologist.
Not with that word, but yeah. I want to help people.
Okay. Yeah.
So, but how do you know at that age what you want to be? And I think that's a wrong question. I think the right question is, what do you enjoy doing? Because then you are already unlocking the right talents of that child.
Because you don't need to become something.
You are it already. Exactly.
And you don't have to call it by labels or something. It's just discovering what gives you energy and what are your superpowers. The only thing with that is that it's such a superpower that is so second nature to you that you don't see it as a superpower.
Exactly. And that when it comes to the unconscious part, like, Why am I different? Why don't I have a life purpose? Why am I getting bored after a while? Why every year and a half I have a new project in mind? And that's a lot of self-doubt. That's the famous imposter syndrome, because you master something for a while, or not even master, because you never become a specialist, but you really get passionate from inside about a topic. You really dive in. I'm someone that start buying books and talking to people, and I have this great idea and I'm going to do this and after a while it's like, okay, but I don't see myself doing this only thing for the rest of my life.
Correct.
So again, why am I like this? Why can't I just stick to one thing? And that's where a lot of frustration comes when you need to choose a career, and or when you are in a career. I landed in customer success, and I think that's my place for several reasons. But I've been 9 years in a corporate environment. Every 2 years, I had a new job within that environment, because after 1 year and a half, I was bored. I was trying new things and I got promoted. But for me, that wasn't felt like I'm a successful person here. I'm a failure, because every 2 years I need something different. And what I realize now is, thanks to those or pivoting in a corporate world between different departments, now I can bring those learnings to something new. But at that time, it's like, where is my path here? What am I doing? I'm losing time.
Yeah, but I have exactly the same thing. So I unconsciously rolled into sales. So that was never a choice. It was just something that, I stumbled on. I was asked for, because I had absolutely no clue what I wanted to do when I was 23. I just studied something very general. And the specialization was to become a diplomat. And that was something I didn't have the urge to wear suitcases. It sounded very dull to me. Also the words, and I was like, I have no idea what I want to do. Yes, I knew I wanted to play music, But then they told me you cannot earn money with it. Exactly. It's things like that, and then you stumble into sales, and then you day after day for me it's a very head thing, a rational thing to do, and you become good at it. And I was lucky to have some successes early on, and. Yeah, but then comes the question, is this really what I want? And also the same thing that you mentioned is that I love the building part, but once it built and I know it, the fun is gone for me.
Exactly.
So this means indeed like every couple of years I have to change or the company changes. And it emotionally, I also felt like a failure. I was like, why can't I just be happy with what is and envy those people who are sitting there for 20 years?
Exactly.
And for me, he's changing again. But that's Peter, he's changing again. Yeah. And that feels like a very negative thing.
Yeah.
Plus also, if you look at it from a very rational point of view, from a money point of view, if I had stayed for a couple of years, so I built the things, but the real cash out came when I left.
Mm-hmm.
Then the seeds were planted, and then it became trees, and the people came after me. They told me I've made lots of money, and I was like, okay, so I'm building things, but the others are getting the rewards, and it's not about just the money, but it's an easy thing. Why shouldn't you pick the cherries of the things you planted? And I was like, oh, okay. And there's also another part of it is that the whole corporate environment for me felt not 100% a fit. So I'm going to say it in a positive. I felt, and maybe it isn't a place, that I never really fitted in.
Mm-hmm.
I fitted in just to work in it. And at the same time, I was like, yeah, but I feel different. That was like... I wouldn't say it was holding me back, but the way it was structured.
Mm-hmm.
So and also then you said, you're going to climb into some kind of management positions. I'm like, yeah, okay, but then you have to act in a certain way, and that was for me something like, how am I going to, how do you say that? Be happy, be
your authentic self.
Yes, that's exactly, yeah. Yeah, that's spot on.
Yeah.
And now I have the feeling that people say, yeah, you're authentic. I'm like, yeah, but I mean, I don't know. It's just I don't have any other choice anymore than to do it this way because I cannot cope anymore to fit in a certain thing. But I still have everyday imposter thoughts. Think that I'm a loser. I still, in certain areas, think I'm a beginner because there's always a little bit sometimes that comparison thing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And we will always be beginners. And that's one of the beauty skills that we have is that we learn fast. So we will be doing new things for the first time many times. And that brings with great skills because even if it's something new, you will be bringing skills that you have acquired previously. So you are never really starting from scratch.
Yeah.
So I've been in leadership before being in CS, and of course managing an inside sales team or a BDR team has nothing to do with managing a CS team. But in the end, you're bringing the leadership skills.
Yeah, but for me, it's well, yeah. Yes and no. I think managing a BDR team and a CS team is for me quite similar. It's just that the type of personalities that you need in order to achieve is a little bit different. But for me, it's the same. Actually, it's putting the right person on the right spot. Maybe the only difference is that the expectation that's not true because CS and BDR there needs to be some kind of goal. Reached. So maybe the question is that for you the right spot to be in?
I think there are several options. When you believe you are a person that needs to have several passions, you need to think, do I need to focus on one thing for a while. Like, I don't know, I've been piano teacher as well for a while. But that came to an end. And then it was time for something
because
different.
Because you had it, or because you could not make the combination, or you could not
because I was in a conservatorium for 10 years of my life. Then it was a natural step to become a teacher. And then I had it. It was like, do I want this for the rest of my life? No. Okay, then let's have other studies. But there are people that really enjoy being in something for a period of their life, and then they shift to another thing that has nothing to do with that. Mm. That's not me. I wouldn't be able to start making pictures as a photographer, and then that's done, and now I'm becoming a coach, and that's done, and I'm an event organizer, and that's done. I need to do things simultaneously. Mm. So the other option is you have different revenue streams. Mm-hmm. For me, yes and no, because I do need the different things, but I do not need to see the revenue out of them.
I want to pause here. I think that's a very important one. This is something for me that I, as a result of the more very result-driven environment that I've worked in and still working in, is that I had the conditioning or the belief that everything that I was doing, the podcast, playing music, that it should bring in lots of money. Yeah. And when I was with my therapist, he said, look, Peter, I mean, of course, we live in the world and you need to make money, okay? But the thing is, if that there are a lot of people doing things almost for nothing, mm-hmm. and they love doing it. If I look at the coach of my son, the basketball coach, I mean, yeah, I don't think she's making a lot of money with it, but she loves doing it. And then I was like, okay. And then he said, look, Peter, your soul or whatever you want to call it is here to. Yeah, to express something. It's more like the creative part. And creativity is about, yeah, doing things, being things without an outcome. You play music for the music. You don't play music for the last final chord or the last note. So, I mean, it's about having a couple of days or dedicate a time to perform and to make money. Eh? And then you have create some time just to unfocus and just to be creative, and it is okay that there is no money attached to it. And for me, that's an advice that I give to a lot of younger people, is that make sure you are doing things that make money, and make sure you're doing things because you really love it. So you love it so much, you would do it for free. Mm-hmm. Because if you're only going to do the things that generate money, and you're not going to do things that you love so much, I mean, yeah, within 10 years, it can be that you, yeah, I don't know, are becoming very far from who you really are.
Yeah.
Because I really think that doing things that you really love without, so detaching from the outcome, you can make money. I play music, and yes, I make money from it, but I don't negotiate rates or things like that, and I'm not going to say I play for free. Mm-hmm. That's not something I also do. Sometimes it really depends for a benefit or something, but but it's not that I don't need that money to live from, mm-hmm. to pay the bills, and but I really love it, and it's for me it's very important that I feel who am I playing with. See, I've played in bands and projects that I felt like this isn't working for me. I don't enjoy here. It feels like that after the performance, after the concert, I drain a lot of energy. And I cannot explain why it is, and it doesn't matter. So, but I don't want to have a situation that I need to do these things to make money. Mm-hmm. So, and this is for me a very important one. So, yes, you need to have different revenue streams, and at the same time, also doing things which sparks you with lots of energy,
exactly.
Without the must of making money.
And that's the third option, because you can have, which is still not mine, mine is the fourth one. The third one is you have a regular job that it's good enough to give you your money at the end of the month. But then you have the time to spend your time in your hobbies, in your passions, in that's what fulfills you. Mm-hmm. Why is that not for me neither? Because if I need to spend 8 hours per day doing something I really not passionate about, I would be depressed. So,
yeah, I know, but I think, yeah, but there is a big difference, I think, with you and me, is that because of the journey professionally we have done, created, it creates opportunities where we can cherry pick environments, situations, companies where we can really fit our potential and our creativity and our talents in it, so that we are bringing passion in a professional environment, and it's giving energy back. I can imagine when you're 22 and you don't know what to do and you don't have any experience professionally, I think it's very interesting to invest a couple of years to learn.
For sure.
And that you don't know what kind of company situations, jobs, etc., whatever is fitting me, or even when you're going to entrepreneurial way, what typical, how do you say that, environments, companies can I create which is fitting for me? I know entrepreneurs who are very, between brackets, successful in terms of money, but they don't like what they're doing. Because they think it's going to make them happy, because it's making money, because they're not, how do you say that, they're not ready yet for that journey within. Yeah. So, but I fully agree. Yeah? I wouldn't do it, the performance thing, if I would not enjoy, and the environment, if it's not resonating with my values, of course I wouldn't do it. But I think when I compare it with my 22 or 23 year young, I mean, I think, yeah, I had no clue, to be honest.
Me neither. And to be honest, that's not something that was top of my mind either.
No, me neither.
I was just doing because I was there.
Yeah.
And that came to me, and that was what I had to do.
Unconsciously. And exactly. Yeah. And so it didn't pop the question, because in my head I had like unlimited time.
Yep.
and I'm not saying I was wasting time, but as I was like, and I also think my ego side, I think then I was more about what is the other person thinking of me, things like that. What is the other one doing? You think you are in a race or something.
I think it's also once that phase is over and you start thinking why, that's what you were talking about, the corporate environment, there is something that it's not 100%, although I'm in the right supposed to be place, and that's where I think those questions come, but that comes with age as well. And for me, being in a startup or scale-up environment where you need to be hiring people, developing people, building a strategy, managing stakeholders, I don't get bored. So that's for me my stable base, but I still do it giving 200% of myself, because I do have the elements not to get bored. Versus if I would have a more routine job, that I would die. So still, I have this type of environment that fits me, who I am, what I need to thrive. But still, I'm not only doing this. So I'm also, this year, for instance, I'm going to launch a book for children that it's with a story for the child and a coaching tool for the father. I'm finishing studies in positive psychology, because it's not about being happy and all these things. It's about identifying your strengths and using them on a daily basis to increase your well-being. So I cannot stick to one thing. So I need to have my secure base in an environment that I can thrive. But I also need to choose those 1-2 projects that's I still need as well.
Yeah, but that's for me the same. I I need a stable environment professionally and privately and of personally, and then I want to I'm going to reverse it. So there are, for me, there are a lot of people who are their label, their title.
Mm-hmm.
And there it stops. Add some hobbies and then it stops. For me, I discovered it's just the opposite. It's the I am, and then I can fill out whatever becomes behind that. So so this means like, okay, your sales, okay. And then as a result of the podcast, I became very interested in the marketing side of things, because then you become an entrepreneur and you're like, I mean, what are all these marketeers doing? And then you, it's a complete new area. Yeah. Then of course it's the coaching part. It's about reading books, but it's for me, it's really about that space between you have the comfort zone,
mm-hmm.
and you have then the zone where it's so stretchy, where it's it's undoable, uncomfortable, and then you have that zone in between, so where you feel a little bit pain of the growth, but at the same time the pain is not big enough so that it doesn't paralyze you, and at the same time it fuels you actually. And I like a little bit that pain of searching for my boundaries and really seeing what are, for instance, we were doing this podcast right now with two persons, and I've started experimenting with live podcasts. Mm-hmm. So you adding 20 people and like what is that energy, what is the setup? And the first time I was like, whoa, this is really terrifying. Mm-hmm. Even with the point that I wanted to quit. And then the second one was like, wow, this is magic. This is like, whoa. And also you get a little bit of validation of the people who were there. So, and it's like, okay, this is now. Okay, I'm writing a book. Okay. And then I wanted to learn to surf with my son, things like that. So I want to learn the piano again. And it's always looking for new things. You want to give a keynote. Okay, keynote. Okay, you want to moderate a panel. Never done it. and it's always adding things and exploring. Okay, what's left? What's still there? And also saying, for instance, video editing. It's never going to be a passion of mine.
Mm-hmm.
Never.
Mm-hmm.
It's I don't care. Interior design, I don't. It's not my thing. I don't care if there it's white. My wife has created this, so this is her thing, but not mine. And really to discover what's now the thing I'm and that's the question you get a lot, I assume. You are a mother.
Yeah.
Yeah. you have also a partner.
Yes.
You have two children, I believe.
Yeah.
They are
9 and 8.
9 and 8. Okay. Yeah. Okay. They can wipe their own. How do you combine all that? I mean, I assume you wake up in the morning and say, "I'm grateful. There's a new day,
new
options, new people, new adventures." I mean, new sensations. How do you combine everything?
So that's the point where we need to watch out, because I don't know if that also happens to you, but you were talking about all these little things that are coming your way and that you get energy and passionate to try. I'm also like this. So it's super easy for us to start things because we feel that, oh, yes. So it's super important for not get burned out to follow your gut and feel, okay, after this initial yes, is this something really that I want to invest at least 2 days of my life? And follow that gut. And if it says, don't do it. Because we can get started in projects that, because we follow that, yes. But in the end, it wasn't us. So I really follow my gut when something is coming my way. Do I really want this? Even if it's for a short period of time, do I really want to experiment this? If it's a yes, I go for it. If it's a meh, then I don't. And also it's about choosing what do I want to focus now. So I started the year when everyone is like, I'm going to do more sport. I want to read so many books. I was like, I'm not going to start anything new this year. That was my focus for 2024, is like, don't start anything new. Take things that are there in a drawer and put them live, like this book. So focus, because, and focus following your gut, because otherwise you can really get overwhelmed. And also the things that I'm doing, of course, if you are talking to me, last summer I was giving a workshop for children to identify their talents. I was giving conferences to talk about my experience as a Spanish person coming to Belgium and all that comes together to inspire also new joiners. But if you are talking to me today, and that's less than 1 year ago, I'm talking about this book, I'm talking about the positive psychology. So in your mind, it's like, whoa, how can you do everything at once? But I'm not doing everything at once. So
And the thing that's very interesting that you mentioned that. The thing is, for me right now, normally I start with some kind of vision board. It's a kind of a plan where I say, I want to learn this kind of songs, I want to do this, I want to do that. So to keep a little bit that focus. And lately, last year and the last years, actually, I received lots of opportunities to join a jury of this, to do that, to that conference. And I feel right now that I say, no, 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 no. Can you join us for this evening? Blah, 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 blah. You can speak. And I'm like, no. Whereas last year, I don't know, was it my ego? I don't know what said yes, yes, yes. And it right now, I just want to focus on a couple of things. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I'm going to do this. These are the things that I'm doing. Yes, there's a webinar coming I'm going to say yes, but I'm going to be quite, a little bit. I'm not 100% sure how it will manifest, what it will be. Mm-hmm. And it's indeed because last year I had too much, and then I became paralyzed. My head was really full. Yeah. It was really, and then I didn't sleep well, and I was like, I had lots of stress, and then everything was started to block me. I'm like, and so. Really feeling boundaries. Mm. So it's because if I'm in the creative modus, ideas come, and if then somebody comes with a great idea, I'm very excited. And then if I look back, I'm like, okay, but it's great to have your excitement, and then I learn to let it a little bit. It's like falling in love, diminish a little bit that falling in love part, because who is he or she really? Because there is no magic. It's a kind of a chemistry reaction. And then, certain ideas, if I now, I had like 2 years ago an idea with the whole crypto thing. I want to start a crypto channel, and I'm going to ask right now. I think, what's a stupid idea was that? It was like, no, that's not my soul mission, whatever thing. I just wanted to go back a little bit to something you said. Mm-hmm. It's about purpose. You said, I don't have a life purpose. I believe the whole purposing thing is complete BS.
Oh yeah.
And I think the real truth is, it's about energy, and energy is the thing that you, and it's a very silent voice. It's something, it's not in your head. It's really about, yes, that's it. And it's about discovering new things, what we are doing, and seeing if that's is that giving you energy, is that draining you energy, and can you become good at it, and then that's a little bit your purpose, and you can have multiple things. So the purpose thing, we are trying, or there is some kind of moving to try to put your purpose into words. The purpose is quite simple. It's joy and expression. That's it.
Yeah.
And so you're wasting your time by finding or searching your purpose and putting it into words. Don't put your time in it. Just do certain things, be in silence, and then start doing things, and then see, okay, is it your thing or not? Mm-hmm. And then pursue that.
Yeah, 100%. And we were talking about the unconscious part of trying things and the conscious part. And for me, that was like a reality check. That's I wasn't happy about changing my mindset. Like, no, I do need a life purpose. Why can't I have also one like other people, like more specialists? Eh? And for me, it was like, I don't want to see that I have multiple passions because I do want to have one and stick to it and don't feel bad about it. And for me, it was a shock to admit that I don't have it and I'm not going to have it. So it required a lot of self-prospection on shifting that life purpose and why are we in Earth and what will you when you are when you die, what do you want other to think about you? I don't know, but I did want to have one thing. So for me, changing from I'm never going to have that one thing to now I can enjoy that first time. And now I'm out of my comfort zone now talking to cameras here, but that gives me also energy. And today I'm going to have a great day because we are here doing this. So that's what, for me, that's also being happy. Eh? So that it required a lot of internal work, I would say, to make that shift.
And with the internal work, you mean that how do you say that? The based on beliefs you had from the past, things that happened, whatever, that maybe in our heads, that voice that is always looking for trouble and for problems, and is holding us small, and it's about it's accepting that it's always going to be there, that voice, and. Yes, to say, okay, I heard you, but I'm going to do it different and yeah. I'm going to do it anyway. Yeah. Why Nieves, why should you come on the podcast with Peter? Because I felt it on your questions. Are we going to call and going to prepare this? No, we're going to record immediately. It's flow. It's part of positive psychology, by the way. Because I know and I feel this right now is that okay, I pushed you a little bit over the edge. I feel also that you're really enjoying that you are being your true authentic self.
Yeah, for sure.
See it? And that's the thing that you need to need that you are learning or need to learn that okay, we have that voice which is holding our back, but that's not our true selves and that's not something that expresses. It's just a part of us which is there because it needs to it wants to protect us. From millions of years ago when we were living in tribes and in the jungle and protecting us from danger from the white from the lions, etc. And but it's just to accept it's there and we cannot carve it out of our heads. It's there, but yeah, we don't need to believe every word it is saying, although it's very it can be very present, especially when you feel tired and you feel not good at all. That then these thoughts can sound very realistic.
Yeah, and also I think it's a cultural thing because if you are coming to your environment saying I have this new project, I have this new idea, and that's not once, but it's after a while several times. People that are not like you will think, oh, Peter, another thing. and that has an impact on you as well, on that internal voice that you are talking as well. Eh?
Yes, because that's the thing that I also experience is that for a lot of people, it was very difficult. It still is very difficult to put me in one box because I get that reaction. Yeah, who are you? What are you doing actually? And is it that? For instance, your LinkedIn profile is fluffy or is vague. And now I'm very comfortable saying like that's the intention. And you will always fill it in what you think of me.
Yeah.
I mean, but the thing is I stopped worrying about what the perception and like whatever. I mean, start a conversation and then you can, if you're open for it, discover what I accepted it that it's multiple and I'm actually quite fine of it because the other way is that I'm going to live a life based on the opinions of somebody else.
Yeah, 100%.
You see, and also very important there is, and it's great that you that the roads has crossed thanks to Karin paper. that I felt sometimes lonely in mm-hmm. that, because it's very important that you find like-minded souls who will also have the same, like, this today is this, then it's that, and several projects which does not fit at first sight. For instance, yes, I like building business and I am very fond of sales. And yes, I also want very happy customers. Yes, I like playing guitar. Yes, I like creating podcasts. Yes, I like the more deep, profound spiritual stuff, the energy stuff. And I felt for a very long time very ashamed mm-hmm. because it sounds very contradictory, mm-hmm. but it isn't.
No. And that's another skill that we have, is that we can have this building or connecting things that are not per se connected, and we can find the intersection and build something out of it. And that's very good, of course, when you're working in startups, but that's also very good for us to feel fulfilled. Yeah. I was talking about this book for children. That's perfectly, how can you combine teaching something for children and giving a coaching tool for the parents in a book? So that's thanks to that, that way of mixing things that are not per se coming together. So it's good to feel we are not the only ones having this type of choice issues, but it's also nice to see that there are also skills attached to that make us who we are and make us thrive as well in certain environments. So it's good to keep in mind not only the self-doubt and the choice and those issues, but also what we bring to the table. Yeah. And I think that's very valid. Adaptability, I think that's one of the most rated skills for this century. And if I have one thing, is I'm fully adaptable to any type of situation, issue with customers, within the company, with my own personal life. So the world needs us as well.
Yeah, and also the fact that, in these very rapid changing times, mm-hmm. I mean, we have learned the capability reinvent ourselves. And also for me is that I know that I don't know, which is, and I have absolutely no shame anymore to say it. I know that I don't know, because I see some people from our age they are doing the things for 10 years the same, mm-hmm. the same way, and they're not having that set of beginner's eyes, of that mindset. And I'm like, okay, but it's quite dangerous in this changing world to stick to that formula, because, I mean, the things that are working today, you're working in Startup Land, myself also, and I learned there that it's not because something worked in that area, in that sector, in that niche, in that situation, in that market, is automatically going to work today in that thing. So you need to be very aware of, okay, you have experience, and at the same time, we are beginning mm-hmm. and having that mindset to really make any assumptions and to start that fresh, those fresh questions, like where other people like, yeah, but we always done it like that. Mm-hmm. No. Well, why? And redoing it again. And I think that's a very, very, for me, a very comfortable thing. Yeah, I know that I don't know.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Cool. How really young are you specific right now, Nieves?
I'm 40.
40. Okay. Now, if you studied in Spain?
Spain? Mm-hmm.
Okay. If you would go back, and we would meet the Nieves when she was 18, and she says, Peter, Nieves, it's great to see you in Ghent. What kind of life advice would you give her? And not like, everything happened for a reason. Yeah, I know that. But what kind of life advice, based on what you know right now?
I would say follow your intuition.
Mm.
let things happen and enjoy.
Okay. How do you know that it's your intuition, Nieves?
Because intuition is something you feel, eh?
How does that work, that intuition thing? For somebody who has, how long have you been aware about the muscle of intuition?
Always.
Always?
Oh, yeah. You
were trained, your parents, my parents never explained to me intuition.
Me neither. But I think that's something that was always with me. I always had a huge inside me something. Then when I had to do something, and can be from a very little stupid thing to a decision, I always knew I want to do it or I don't want to do it. And I follow that. And the period of my life where I didn't follow that, I wasn't happy.
Okay. So this also means when hiring people, intuition is a very important one.
Yeah. It's intuition in the sense of, it's not about what I would think with judgments about you, because I don't know you.
Yeah, judgment is a mental thing. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm not judgmental at all, but really at all, because I think we are all who we are, we all have a baggage. Who am I to judge your baggage and your actions? But I do believe when I'm hiring, I do believe we should have shared values, and then each one has their own individual and unique skills. If we don't share those values, my intuition will say, meh, red flag. Because those values for me is what brings the team together. If my values are freedom and equity, and yours are success, meaning money, we are going to, that's not going to glue. So my intuition in that sense is, do we share the same values so that we can, you can do your thing, I can do my thing, and we trust each other or not? So that's why that part of following my intuition in hiring is there, yes, but from that perspective.
Mm. Your children, the book and the coaching, because I want to respect the time. Mm-hmm. When you were in flow, Nieves, I mean, we were almost approaching an hour, so, and I want to respect it to your time. Yeah, I know, but that's, The book about the children, where did this idea come from?
So I've been a coach already for years now, and I remember, this is a very small anecdote, but my daughter, she's this type of, I see myself there, perfectionist in the sense of, I want to do something, but if I know I'm not going to do it right, I don't do it.
Yeah, okay.
And I've struggled as adults so much about it that when I saw that, I was like, nah, red flag. I need to solve this now that I still have the time, and not when she's an adult and she suffers from it. So what I did was, Mael, you can do this, but that doesn't work. Eh? No, I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. So what I did is something that I use in coaching, and it's a tactic from a neuralistic programming, and I adapt it to her or to a child with a magic stick and so forth, and that worked. And I was like, oh, shit, this is working. And after a while using that tool, there was a time when she said, no, I don't want to do it. And I said, Mael, use your magic stick. And she said, Mom, you know what? I'm going to stop using it because I know that if I want to do it something, I just need to do it and it will be fine. And I was like, oh, shit. This is the point where she was already into believing in herself and not being blocked by, if it's not going to be perfect, I'm not going to do it. And that's the point where I said, this is magic. I want to bring this to other people. And that's where, because with my children, when we are in the car, we start inventing stories. Like I start the story, and then it's your turn, then it's your turn. Mm. And in the end, there is a nice story. So taking that part of inventing stories and that part of coaching my own kids, I brought it together because I wanted to other children and parents to benefit from that. And that's where the idea came.
I'm buying the book. love it. Yeah, our son is six, he's becoming seven. So, and he's very goal-oriented. Yeah. And something I was very careful that I did not want him to have that as much as I have. Because for me, it was really about not feeling good about myself and compensating with results. But it's in there. It's he's what they call in Dutch a strever. So he's really, it's really about going for it, and he wants to do it, really really well. I mean, like for instance, they have a card in school in class, and there is a couple of books on it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and within, I don't know, 3 months or 6 months, you can read like 10 books or something, and those 10 books should be he should have read that. Jules not. 10 days went by that those 10 books he has read it, and it's all from him. I never pushed him. Yeah. No. He did it, and he's like, I'm going to do it. And that's a trait. If I say I'm going to do it, I do it. So I'm like really consistent, disciplined, and I'm like, yes, I'm going to do it. And it's good and bad in the same way, because I'm like, for me, I become more conscious about it, but I don't want him to become like of course he needs to. It's great to have results, and I want him to have grinta.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, not because, and this is something that I say to him every day, and he's like, "Bah, are you there again?" I mean, I love you for the person you are, mm-hmm. not for what you do or what you achieve. Yes, I'm proud of you when you make a goal, but I still love you, whatever, if you even miss the goal. So, but I want you to enjoy the growth. Yeah? So, because for me, that's the paradox. You are perfect as you are, and yes, you can still grow.
Mm. And I think he might not understand this, and he will say like, I know. But these are words that will enable him to not have, not issues, but to be
traumatized.
Self-demanding or to have a lot of expectations for himself.
That's it. Yeah.
So you are now putting a seed that will probably prevent him for being that person that, if I gave my word, I'm gonna do it no matter what, and no matter what, it's sometimes even affecting a part of yourself. Or I need to do this perfectly, and if it's not perfect, who am I? No. So indeed, it's about being instead of doing. And now I realize this because I'm 40, but we live in a society that is do more and achieve and success, and what the fuck? It's not about that, right? It's about I don't know if I'm going to die tomorrow. So my only worry is I want to have a great day today.
Me too. Yeah, that's the same. Yeah. That's. New Evis, I want to thank you.
Thank you.
This is just part one. Sorry. I really, really, really enjoyed it. I know it was a little bit of a last minute because you sent me that message, I think a week or ago. And I was like, and I was like, really, intuitively, I was like, yep, up, can you come Friday? And because we've met once.
Yeah,
and we did not. Yeah. We spoke a little bit because we were in a group of six people or seven people. But there was no really. We didn't have the time to really connect. Besides maybe be 1 or 2 minutes. So the fact that you then took that subject about the multi-potential, I was really intrigued. So I'm so grateful that you did. Now you're sitting here. So it's your fault.
No, but thanks for bringing me also out of my comfort zone again. That's it's going to be a great day. So thank you for having me, and with pleasure. It's always nice to talk to like-minded people.
I think you're a beautiful soul, and I really admire what you are putting out in the world. You're making really the world a better place.
Oh, nice. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, and it's really important because if you look at your LinkedIn thing, you from the outside, you look like a very successful person. Eh? But I don't care because you are a good person doing something good, and yes, therefore you are successful. And we need more people like that than just having that really small golden thing about, yeah, she's VP of this or VP customer success. I'm like, yeah, whatever. I mean,
what's in a title?
Yeah, it's a title. But you are really the proof of really that expression from within, and that you can, yeah, that you really are an example for a lot of people of, taste a lot of things and go for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thanks a lot. Oh, my God. Feeling emotional now. No, thanks a lot, Peter. And
Naima, you've touched me and my heart. I'm so grateful that you took the initiative.
Thanks a lot. And again, music, being creative, I think that's something wonderful to have as well, and not only focus indeed on making a career. So I can only encourage you to go and go for your passions.
Was this experience now so bad?
No. Not at all. I forgot these things. No. It was a very nice experience. Thanks a lot.
Okay, cool.
Hey, it's Peter here. Thanks a lot for listening to What's On Your Mind. Looking forward to your opinions and comments. And don't forget to subscribe on psgrow.com and leave your email address to stay tuned for future episodes. Bye.